We are a people of prophecy. God's prophetic word brought us forth. And that means our lives are regulated by prophetic utterance. The body moves in the direction of what is in the mouth. Your words are laws. We are here to live out the word of God. I told you, this is why we talk for a living. No man ever became greater than the quality of the words he spoke at it. It's for we are children of the prophets. We are products of their prophetic utterances and of the covenant which God made with our father Abraham. See God, you must see you, you must see Jesus. If you read your Bible and you can't see God, you can't see Jesus, and you can't see you, you have not read your Bible. You just read it like a theologian, like a Christian religious knowledge. You remember CRK? Glory to God. So we read the Bible expecting impartation of life. The Bible is not just truth, but truth and life. This is why preaching is not just communication of truth. There is a flow of life. We share truth, but beyond that, there is a flow of life. There is flow of life. You are not just hearing what is right and what is wrong. No, there is a flow of life. Every time you sit with the word, to meditate, to study, there must be the flow of life. It's compulsory. Hallelujah. This is why we can shout when we hear God's word. This is why we can rejoice when we read the Bible. You just see something and say, dear God, is this true? Hallelujah. You mean I'm this beautiful? You mean you are this gracious to me? You mean life can be like this? You are interacting with something living. It cannot be religion. There is a religion to Christianity, visiting the orphans and the widows. It's a pure religion. Apostle James is this, taking care of orphans and visiting the widows. That's the religion there is to Christianity. Hallelujah. Listen, Christianity is not classed with any of the religions of the world. It couldn't be. There were already many religions in the world. Jesus didn't come to start another one. There were too many already. They said there are many religious leaders. this one. And Jesus too came to start. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. So we now begin to say, okay, we have our own religion. They have their own religion. Are you joking? You think God is dumb? Religion is man's attempt to find God. Christianity is God reaching out to man. Did you get that? It's God reaching out to man. God reaching out to us. Extending the hand of his love. Extending the bowers of his mercy. Crossing the border of man's wickedness and stubbornness. Coming in the fullness of his love. That's what Christianity is. It couldn't be a religion. Never mistake it for religion. Hallelujah. This is why your true worth is in the word. I said it during the first service. That is where your true worth is. If you are looking elsewhere to define your worth, you will sink. If you are looking around to see, listen, this is why you cannot even look to yourself for righteousness. You can't. Or you are looking at yourself to find sin, the journey will never end. But God wants our vision to be the lamb slain. God wants our vision to be his provision on the cross. Not looking around to look at what your flesh can accomplish. You will sink. You will sink. It will be an endless discovery of inadequacies. You keep seeing what you don't have. You keep seeing what you cannot do. You keep seeing what you cannot accomplish. But the moment your focus is shifted and you are looking at the right thing, all you see is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what you can see. He said, Christ, he said, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as coming from ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. our sufficiency. No, just imagine waking up every day and saying, Christ is my sufficiency. You will have a great day. Christ is my sufficiency. Spirit, soul, and body. Christ is my sufficiency. You say that and speak in tongues just for 10 minutes. You are ready for the day. Christ is my sufficiency. Hallelujah. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Who strengthens me? Who energizes me from within? You say that in the morning, you are ready for the day. But what do we do? What do many Christians do? We look into the flesh. We look into human abilities. We look to the arm of flesh. The Bible says we are of this of circumcision, right? That worship God in the spirit and have no confidence in the flesh. He said we rejoice in Christ. We rejoice in the anointed one and his anointing. And have no confidence in the flesh. Have no confidence in the flesh. Listen, even in dealing with wrong habits, sinful habits that make you ineffective, when you are dealing with a habit that is not godly, you cannot put your confidence in the flesh. No, you can't. This is why many Christians are frustrated because of religion. If I saw them even stay away from church because they feel they need to clean themselves up first before they come to church, not knowing that church is God's laundry on the earth. When your clothes are dirty, what do? Do you throw them away? You send them to the laundry. He says, you are clean to words that I speak unto you. The word of God has cleansing power. I'm not telling you what I've no experience. I caught the gospel as a young teenager. I saw myself grow. I saw myself rid myself of habits. It was like this. And God showed me. It wasn't standing in human strength. It wasn't standing in the energy of the flesh. But operating with the consciousness of the Father's love. Putting my eye, the same thing with finances, the same thing with taking care of your family, raising your children, having a great home, having lots of money, lots of finances, succeeding in the endeavor that you are at, profession, business, ministry. Your focus is important. If you are gazing to your flesh to see what you can accomplish, you have the results of men. You have the results of men, and that comes with pride. My hard-earned money. This is my sweat. This is my blood and sweat. Somebody's talking about his money. He said, don't you know this is my blood and sweat? I built this company with my blood and sweat. They call them self-made millionaires. Malakavaya. You know, we don't operate in that realm. Are you aware? We don't operate. We are grace-made men and women. Because you know that it was your focus on Christ's goodness, on Christ's sacrifice, on the Father's goodness that brought you here. The Bible said they got not the land by their own strength, neither did their arm save them. But thine hand, thy right hand, and the light of thy countenance, because thou didst favor them. So you know, they got not the land by their own sword, even though they fought. Means yes, you will fight, you'll be diligent, you'll go out to do the business. But there's something supernatural. There's the unseen forces. The unseen force that would ensure that you are successful. That force will ensure compliance in the natural realm. Compliance. That's where your eyes must be. Listen, you cannot fail. Christians were not designed to fail. Can I talk to someone this morning? You were not designed to fail. Is not in your design. Listen, when natural human beings produce products, they put a warranty on them. No, look at this. In case this should help some of this self-esteem. Men would design products and put, you know, warranty, and put a warranty on their products, saying these products cannot fail. Oh my goodness. They put a warranty on it. this product cannot fail. Is expected, is designed to work this way. The Bible says we are God's workmanship. So do you think that when God created you, he did not put a warranty on you? I thought somebody was going to receive that into his spirit. Listen, I don't care what men have said about you. I don't care what circumstances has forced you into believing about yourself. God has a warranty on us. God has a warranty. He says, this fellow cannot fail. This guy cannot fail. This man cannot fail. This woman cannot fail. No fear, no intimidation, no failure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are those who are bothering their head about what the Antichrist is trying to do. You watch all kinds of things on social media. They say, Illuminati, they have come. They are trying to control us all. And you are afraid. Yeah, this is the Antichrist. Now, maybe, you know, there are those who even say Obama was the Antichrist. Everybody should wait. Let me tell you something. Any message, any material that produces fear is not from God. God doesn't sponsor fear. And most of these guys, you notice, after saying that to us, so what next? What should we do? Should we fight them? Should we wait? They don't tell us what to do. Oh. Did you ever read 2 Thessalonians chapter 5? Chapter 2, I believe. He said, he that letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Then the man of sin shall be revealed. Watch this. Believers, brothers and sisters, the Antichrist cannot show his head until the church is raptured. So it doesn't matter what they are doing. We are their limitations. We are their headache. Meaning whatever they do and do and do. Oh God Almighty. I feel like jumping. Do you understand that? So you don't have any need of fear. When we talk about the right person winning election and all that, is for other people and to speed up the work. But we are not trapped by one man. We are not trapped by human system. Hope you are aware. Hey! No, we are not. With God, we are not. No need to fear. No need to fear. Satan cannot kill you. Have you ever thought about it? If he could, he would have killed you before now. If he could, you are in the womb, you'd have been aborted. Miscarriage. No, have you ever thought about it? How come your mom did not have a miscarriage? You are here, you are 40, you are 30, you are 50, and you are still wondering, Satan is after me. Focus on the right things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, lessons from Joseph. Lessons from Joseph. Lessons from Joseph. We stopped at lesson 8 in the first service. What's lesson 8? Pardon? Save at least 10% in surplus. Sorry, 20% in surplus. Save at least 20% in plenty and save something at all times. All right, so we'll pick it up from there. We'll pick it up from there. Savings, putting something aside, is scriptural. And I began to prove to you from the Bible in the first service. Putting something aside is scriptural. Every time you cannot get and spend everything and say, oh God, what is happening? No. And he quickly said this, never say what I have is not enough to put something aside. Because that's the first thing. You will self-defend. Every time God opens anybody's eyes to this, the first thing you do is self-defense. Self-defense. Dr. Samadeyemi said many years ago, he went for a seminar and a mentor of his quoted that Proverbs 21 verse 20. And he says, if you spend everything, you are foolish. He got angry. He was a pastor. He was a preacher. In fact, he said something happened one day. He went somewhere to preach also, and they gave him very great honorarium. And then he came home, things happened. And then after some time, his wife asked him, after a few days, what happened to the money? What's the meaning of the money? He said, nothing. And then before the wife could say this next thing, he said he got self-defensive. You know, that's what we do. Are you saying I'm wasting? Are you saying I don't know what I'm doing with money? Well, he said he now sat down to give account of the things he did with the money. That was when he started using spending plan. Because he saw that the money just went. Part of it is trying to play God in people's lives. Amen. Look up at me, everyone. Never play God in anybody's life as far as financial help is concerned. Did you hear what I said? Africa has a crab mentality. Have you ever heard that? Have you tried to put crabs in a bucket, in a drum, and watch one trying to come up? What is the rest going to do to it? Calm down, my friend. Where do you think you're going? Now, by that, I'm not talking about the regular witchcraft in Africa. I'm talking about as far as financial management is concerned. Let me tell you how it works. Entitlement mentality. The moment you buy a good car, the moment they even hear you say, I have 2 million in my account. Hey. And somebody just come to ask you for just 100,000. And he said, I don't have 100,000 to give you. They can keep malice for 2 months. Why? No, some of you are laughing. You behave like that. You are angry with your elder brother, angry with your cousin, angry with your uncle, angry with your mom, sir, because you knew there was money somewhere and they did not give you. Wake up. The money is not your own. I'm going somewhere with this. Entitlement. That we get unconsciously angry. We are not happy. How could he say he doesn't have 200,000 to give me? Upon everything I've done for him, keep quiet. What you did for him, did you do it with love? Believe me, God, for your harvest. The Bible says you shall reap what you sow, not where you sowed. He didn't say you shall reap where you sowed, what you sowed. So if you helped someone, you reap help, but it mustn't come from the same person. So all the talk after all the, I told you, was it 2 Sundays ago? Never use that phrase. It's arrogant. Don't use it after everything I've done for you. It's arrogant. Does God say that to you? Don't use that phrase. You helped is the seed you sow, is for your benefit. Train yourself not to use that word. I don't care what you did for the person. Don't say, after all I've done for you. It doesn't reflect humility. It doesn't reflect the love and the wisdom of God. Glory to God. No entitlements. No entitlement. I say no entitlement. That there's 12 baskets left doesn't mean it should be given to you. I want to challenge entitlement as I talk about having a culture of putting something aside. If somebody says, sorry, I don't have money to help you now, believe it. Don't say it's not true. All these rich people, that's what they do. You know, when you talk like that, you've separated yourself. Do you know that God calls you rich? And you are saying, all these rich people. You know what you're saying? You are in the poor masses. Your mouth has categorized you. Say, God forbid. All these rich people that don't help somebody, and they're after all my father did for my uncle, is your father that did it for him, not you. He cannot even help. My father did not go to school so that these ones can go to school. Now they are prosperous, they are not helping anybody. Delete that thing from your mind. Look up at me, everyone. The earth owes you only 2 things: the things you paid for by money or by value. You hear what I said? And by value, it mustn't be money. It could be good understanding, procuring favor. It could be the anointing in your life commanding favor. That's value. No entitlement. No entitlement. So people squander their resources and become entitled. I say it again, in surplus, set at least 20%. Listen, what 80% cannot do for you, 100% cannot do. And let me talk because I believe as what 70% cannot do, because the 10% is already tied. Amen. And that one is not your own. That means every time you get money, you only have access to 20%. Actually 60%. It's not 7%. Because there's actually prophet's offering inside. Even though we don't do it. Glory to God. That's a way to divide any money that comes to you. Tithe is God's first. 10%. Your savings, I said, if you may not start with 20%. That's why I said in surplus, 20%. But anytime, something, you can start with 5%. If that is what is convenient, put it aside. Then something for God's prophet and God's house. Did you hear what I said? Learn it. And it's in the Bible. You know, as pastors, we don't like saying it so that people don't misjudge us. Glory to God. And then you live on the rest. Live on the rest. You must keep your expenditure under your income. It is scriptural. It's a lesson from Joseph. Let me tell you a few things that is going to do for you. Number one, every time you learn to put something aside, even if it's 5%, 5%, what you are doing to yourself is you are practicing always having. The Bible says God is able to make all grace abound towards you, but you always having. So he's going to give you that thinking that I always have. It may be 2,000 somewhere. I always have. Oh, somebody got that. I always have. So you declare your faith for the next money to come, but there's something somewhere. There are two things, only two things can happen. Is it that God makes demands on it, or you decide to invest it? An investment can be in the house of God or in business. So when you close your savings to give to God, is an investment. But at least you had something to invest because you were putting something aside. Glory to God. Or there's an opportunity that just comes. You'll be surprised what 100,000 can do when you kept it aside. You'll be surprised. It gives you momentum to take opportunities that present itself. Momentum. In business, I call it leverage, right? Momentum. I saw our ministry finance move to another level when we started SIP. We had every excuse to say, every reason, years ago, to say, we're just starting, there is no money anywhere. In fact, the truth is what we had to do were always more than what we had. But when we decided that we spend, we give when it's necessary, and we have to put something aside, it was amazing. That year, ministry income almost doubled. That was the year we moved from 5 point something million per annum in the previous year to over 10 million as annual income as a young ministry. In that year, how can you explain that? Glory to God. You put something aside and tie your belt and believe God to open your mind to see opportunities to earn more. Because when what you're having is not enough, you need to increase your income. That's what it means. Increase your income. Increase your income. What you are saying is that thing you put aside cannot be spent on you. It can only be spent on God or on business investment. Do you understand? It can't be. It must be on something that will produce return. You can't go and buy clothes or food with it. Can I get an amen? Church is quiet. Somebody is saying, Pastor, you don't understand what I'm going through. I understand. I felt like that too. If you are married, agree with your spouse. Are you listening? If you want to do it together or do it independently, save this, save this. Whatever you have to do, put something aside. Are you listening? Put something aside. Even if it's 200 naira, let it be somewhere. And then when there's no food, you believe God. Are you following me? Is somebody learning something? Proverbs 6, verse 6. Church is quiet. Church is quiet. Church is... Is it Koboko message? Koboko message. Glory to God. This is very important. There were things, looking back, there were things we're able to do without calling the whole church. We leverage to do as a church, as a ministry, because we put something aside, even though not much comes. Is somebody following me? Even if you need to get money to act, at least there's something on the ground. You can move. I remember years ago when we moved here, we had like, was it 250,000 in our savings? What that meant then was, you know what 250,000 meant then to a young ministry? Our savings, that was big. We had moment. Something told us we're a rich ministry. Do you understand? Something told us we're practicing always having. Hallelujah. He said, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. You remember we read the other translation. Say, you lazy bones. I like it. That's Living Bible. Put it up. Let's read it again. Let's read it again. He said, take lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and become wise. Next verse. He said, though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer, gathering food for winter. But you lazy bones, how long will you sleep? When will you wake up? Well, the part I wanted you to see is that they have no ruler. They know how to keep something in harvest for the days to come. And God is saying, go and learn from them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when next you see in a business book about saving 20% of income, know that they took it from a kingdom man. Joseph told Pharaoh, say, keep a fifth part. So it's an ancient wisdom. He didn't start today. It's an ancient wisdom. Keep a fifth part. Keep a fifth part. Keep a fifth part. Sometimes it will help the family when there is pressure. Okay, cool. It will help. Let me just add that. It may not just even be for investment. Your family can come under intense pressure. And then you can use that to ease the pressure before you balance things. Are you following me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lesson 9. Lesson 9. Lesson 9. This is very interesting. This is the first time we're having more people in first service than second service. First time ever. I'm touched. I'm touched. Everyone was packed during the first service. All right. Lesson 9. Sorry. Lesson 9. Write it down. Oh, this is going to bless you. Love will always put you over and ahead. Thank you for shouting. Love will always put you over and ahead. Always. The love of God will always put you over and what? And ahead. Aye. Genesis 45, 1 to 15. Like we did in first service, we're going to read together. I want us to see the heart of Joseph. go and see his heart. What really goes on in his mind. Joseph could not refrain himself from all of them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out for me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. Hallelujah. Continue. Verse 2. Can we read it together? And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. Next verse. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. You understand what that means? You know why they were troubled? And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Next verse. Now therefore be not grieved, O God Almighty. What a man, what a thinking. Can you think like this man? You know what this means? When a man is walking in love, oh my goodness, he sees what God sees about every situation. A natural man will see wicked brothers and look for occasion to punish them. But the man of love will see the hand of God in it. Your vision will be different. Your perspective will be different. How could he say this? He said, now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves. So love makes people comfortable about themselves around you. Even when they did something wrong, they are comfortable around you. You make them comfortable. Even when they are feeling bad, feeling guilty, I didn't know. So it's okay. Don't be angry with you. No, I didn't say, look at this. He said, don't be grieved or angry with yourselves. For us who want the person, let the person suffer small. Let the person know, how could you sell me? Did you know what I went through? They flogged me. They sent me to prison. I went through hell and high waters because of what you did. Lock them up first. Have a small field. Even God understands. I was locked in prison for how many years? Just lock them up for 2 months. Let them understand. Did he do that? Say, I'm a man of love. I'm a woman of love. Say it. Love governs my heart. Remember the lesson that love will always put you over and put you ahead. Always. Every time there is a rift, every time there is a disagreement, maybe a fight, and you decide to be the one who walks in love, you are ahead. You are ahead. You may look stupid in the senses, but you are ahead. See, never feel stupid for walking in love. Just know that you are ahead. You say, he did that. Must I be the one to initiate the conversation? Must I be the one to initiate the reconciliation? Yes. Somebody said, when you choose to walk in love, you build bridges. When you choose to walk in pride, you build walls. You build walls. Look at this. This got me thinking. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me hither. Hiya. Oh, for God did send me before you to preserve life. I can rest my case here. You can see a man's perspective. He saw God in it. He said, you thought you were selling me. You thought you were being wicked. But God sent me ahead to preserve life. And their lives were part of those he preserved. God sent me ahead. You always see the God side of things. Because watch this. Every time jealousy, hatred is stirred up against you, the seasons have changed. Never forget that. Either it's at workplace, business place, among your friends, wherever, and you see something stirred against you, promotion has come. Your perspective becomes the most important thing. Love will always put you over and ahead. Always. 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 Next verse. For these 2 years have the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there neither be earing nor harvest. That's fruit springing forth. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth. Oh my goodness. God sent me before you. Not that you sold me because you are wicked brothers. God sent me before you. And to save your lives by great deliverance. Next verse. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. He was telling them what the Lord has done because of what they did. And he did not hold it against them. Just like Jesus. He had to be betrayed for the ultimate assignment to be done. So he forgave Judas. He had to be denied. After the resurrection, when he met Peter, did he bring up Peter's denial? Talk to me, church. Ah, Peter. Peter, oh Peter. See the way they deny me. I mean, they watch you with one eye. You say you don't know me from anywhere. Ah, Peter, it is well, shall I forgive you? Was that what he did? He didn't mention it. When he came, but to show you the power of love, they ran towards him. Like they forgot that they ran away. The love was magnetic. I told you, Jesus, when you see him, there's such a liquid love that flows from him. They ran towards him. They forgot. They forgot that they betrayed him. They forgot. Judas did not forgive himself. It wasn't Jesus that didn't forgive him. Glory to God. When you understand this love, you will not take, life is easy. Life is very easy. You not keep somebody in your heart. Keep somebody. No, there's no need. There's no need. Have goodwill towards men. Goodwill. Goodwill. Put it up. We're not done now. We're reading to verse 15. Have goodwill towards men. Say, I'm a man of love. I'm a woman of love. He says, so now it was not you but God. He has made me a ruler throughout Egypt. Next verse, verse 15. Haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus says thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. Next verse. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flock, and thine herds, and all that thou hast. Next verse. What a man of love. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that you have come to poverty. What a man. And behold, your eyes see, and your eyes, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. Next verse. And ye shall tell my father of my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. Next verse. And he fell upon Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Next verse, verse 15. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. Oh God Almighty. And after that, his brethren talked with him. Who was doing the weeping? He was emotional that he just beating. He's meeting those who sold him. So much love in his heart, he began to cry. How much he had missed them. That's why he was crying. He wept upon them. Weeping about how gracious God was to have set the circumstance for his advantage. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, put it up. Matthew chapter 5, very quickly, 43 to 47. We're going to read it. Matthew chapter 5. Listen, as they put the scripture up, look up at me. Love will enlarge your capacity. I've said it again and again here that the first authentic indicator of your spiritual growth is your love walk, right? Never forget that. The second thing is love will always increase your mind. It will increase your capacity. Walk in love towards your spouse, your husband, your wife, your children, your brothers, your friends, your brethren, your colleagues, those in your world. Love will enlarge the capacity of your soul. Every time you walk in unforgiveness, hatred, unlovingly, you shrink your world. Your world becomes small. Listen, unforgiving, unloving people, their world are small. Every time you hold somebody in your heart, what this person did to me, what he did to me, what she did to me, what he didn't do to me, and you're coming, your world is small. You know what? Your world suddenly has become around one person. That's nonsense. The whole world that has 7 billion people is now around one person. That's a waste of life. Don't you think so? You are wasting your life. Let the person go. If you're finding it difficult to do with it, I've taught you what to do. Carry the person in prayer. You can't spend 2 hours praying in tongues or someone and that thing will not break. It's not possible. It's not possible. Carry the person in prayer. Pray for the person's success, promotion, increase, and declare that the love of God in your heart has overtaken the hearts. In the name of Jesus, you declare it. You carry the person in prayer. Number two, you can sow seed to the person. Carry something precious and give the person. You can't do these two things and not be free. It's impossible. It's impossible. It's impossible. You are free. You're free. You're free. He said, you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemies. Next verse. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Next verse. Now, let me put a context to this. It's talking about those who do things against you because of the limitation of your mind. Do you understand? Not because they are carrying your name to Babalao to kill you. Those are not the people he's talking about. Do you understand? Or somebody will go on to who wants to assassinate you. That one, I will kill you myself. Are you following me? He's talking about those who, because of the limitation of understanding, who, because of the limitation of revelation, do certain things to you. And there are people like that. For example, Saul of Tarsus was like that. I painted 2 pictures for you. How come the prayers of the early church saved Paul and killed Herod? Both of them were enemies of the church. Paul says, I did this because of the passion for my father's religion. He had short supply of insight and light. Are you following me? So he thought the Christians were wrong. Judaism was the right way. He became so mean that he killed some Christians. Yet God saved him. Herod killed James too. But what happened? God smote him. When the believers prayed. Are you following me? That's the context there. I'm talking about natural day-to-day people who have limited revelation, who mishandle you because they don't know. Do you understand? I'm not talking about diabolic people. Do you understand? Alright. So he said, do good to them that hate you and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Next verse. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Next verse. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? Are you seeing that? Next verse. For if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? Are you seeing this? Verse 48 at the last one. Be ye perfect. You remember he said, love is the bond of perfection. So the perfect that he's talking about is in the context of love. Some have confused themselves with this scripture and preach religion out of it. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Remember, he gave the illustration of the Father, how that because of his love, he causes the rain and the sun to fall on both the evil and the wicked. You remember? So that's what he's saying. The context is love. And the Bible says love is the bond of perfection. Love is the bond of perfection. That's what he's saying. Be perfected in love. Be perfected in love. Don't have anything against any man. Don't have something in your heart against anybody. It's not worth it. There are people that don't allow their children visit their cousins because they are fighting with their sister or their brother. They were given birth to by the same father or her mother. They are fighting. They have disagreement. So they tell their children, you can't go to ancestors' house. Don't play with it. Have you seen that nonsense? Extending their foolishness to their children. I mean, your world is small. That's what I mean. Your world is very small. Your world is small. Just basic disagreement. Or maybe the person, maybe I don't get it. Glory to God. I say, you see those people out there, your distant cousin, they're like this, don't talk to them. And then you are carrying, my goodness, what a load. No wonder people are struggling. What a load. Let loose of all those load. Hallelujah. Don't have anything against any man or any woman. Does it mean people will not hurt you? They will hurt you. Let them be. Let them be. It's not hard. Just start practicing it. It becomes your life. Free. Good. No weight. You lay aside every weight. Malice, unforgiveness is weight. And if you are not careful, it can make you sick. Let me shock you. Certain cancers are connected to unforgiveness. Did you hear what I said? Certain medical conditions are connected to unforgiveness. That's very true. Very true. Peptic ulcer disease. Some people with peptic ulcer disease, unforgiveness and bitterness is connected. Very true. I'm a healing minister. I minister to sick people. And I'm a medical doctor too. Don't forget that. So I'm not speaking as an unintelligent person. Are you following me? Walk in love. Live that free life. Life is sweet and easy. You know, imagine you now see somebody, your heart is not like doing like this. Because no, you said no, I can't live like this. It's not possible. I carry seed I give you. I pray for you. I hug you. Do you understand? That's it's ungodly. Hallelujah. I'm sure somebody's getting blessed. Paul says, I exercise my conscience. It's like somebody say, Pastor, this second service today is a hard message. From savings to working in love. Pastor, why will you talk about two difficult things in one service? You'd have broken it into one service, first service, second service. I'm so sorry, I didn't think about it. Just receive it. You are here now. Are you receiving it? Hallelujah. Paul said, Acts chapter 24, verse 6. Is it 16? Verse 16. Acts 24, 16. Paul says, in this I exercise myself. Meaning it doesn't happen automatic. Exercise yourself. Exercise yourself. And herein do I exercise myself. To have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward I. Exercise. You know what exercise means? Practice. God knows that you are not starting out perfect. Practice. I practice to have a conscience that is void. Void means empty of offense. Live beyond offense. Raise the bar. Raise the bar. Raise the bar. And I miss you. You'll not be going around saying, you see what that person did to me? He said, no. Raise the bar. It's for small people. I said, when you live like that, your world is small. It doesn't matter how much you pray, how much you confess. Your world is small. God has given you the whole world. Why shrink your world? Exercise your conscience, yourself, to have a conscience void of offenses. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Say, I'm a man of love. I'm a woman of love. I always have a conscience that is void of offense toward God and toward men. Say, in the name of Jesus, the love of God flows to me. The love of God flows to me. And I have great vision. My vision, my capacity is large because I walk in love. Say this after me. There's nobody I cannot forgive. There's nobody I cannot like. I may dislike their attitude, but I can like them. Did you get that? I may dislike their attitude, but I can like them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Whoever has hurt you, maybe your parents, your spouse, colleague, classmate, somebody told you something in SS3, you felt it damaged you, it's 10 years now, it's 20 years now, he's somewhere, let it go. Let it go. Or watch this, somebody borrowed money from you and has not given you, it's 5 years now, stop waiting for it. Say, money is gone, new money come. The world is big. Do you understand? There's those that say, if not that Sister Jones borrowed her 500,000, I know where I would have been by now. 5 years now, she has not brought my 500,000. See what happened to my business? Sister, move on. Man, move on. Woman, move on. Are you listening to me? Forgive them. When you see them, that money, don't feel bad about it too. Now, if you still want the money, but tell them, anytime you have the money, get it back. Bring it back for me. But you, your mind, disconnect. And if you have the grace to, and God has laid in your heart, say, I've sowed it as seed, don't bring that money back. He seeded as seed. I receive, so that you can start receiving harvest. Don't you think so? I've sowed it as seed. You lost 200,000 in business and then you are depressed. 1 year now, you say you can't move on. You're not serious. Come and meet some of us to tell us what we give to people and they went away with. And then you tie your life down. Glory to God. Say, I'm blessed. Hallelujah. Rise to your feet with a shout.
We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.